I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. 13th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, a few verses from verses 6 to 10. Follow the reading of God's precious word, please. Jesus spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. The parable of the fig tree that we find here that the Lord Jesus gives in Luke's Gospel chapter 13 is, I believe, the shortest of all the parables. And yet it is an amazing parable because I believe that it touches many spheres and many parts of human life. There's a message for everyone. For example, there's a message here that we would regard as a message of God's dealings with Israel. In prophetic scriptures, and the fig tree certainly will speak to us concerning Israel. And then, of course, we think of the Christian, the message that there is for the Christian, because there is the desire of God and the command of God that we bear fruit. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 15, where the Lord Jesus said, Abide in me and I in you, he said these words, he said, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then it says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then it says also in God's word, in the verse 16 of John 15, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so therefore we have in the fruit bearing, we certainly would have a message to the believer and the desire of fruit in the believer's life. But I believe there's also here a message for the unconverted, for the unsaved. There's an illustration of great gospel truth here. And I want us to examine this barren fig tree in the closing moments of this meeting. And I want to say 4 simple things concerning this situation, this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ spake unto the people in Luke chapter 13. First of all, I want you to notice it says there in verse number 6 of chapter 13, He spake this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came, and he sought fruit thereon, and found none. Here's the reasonable request. You see, the fig tree, it was reasonable to understand that the fig tree was there to bear fruit. But the reality was this, that this fig tree that was there to bear fruit was not producing fruit. In other words, it wasn't fulfilling the real purpose it was there for. In our catechism, the Presbyterian catechism, the first question is this, what is man's chief end? And what is simply asking is this question, what is the purpose of man here, being here for in this world? What is the real purpose of living? What is the real chief end of man? The answer in the catechism is very simple, this. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And friend, in other words, there is a specific purpose for man's existence here. You see, some people look upon life and they think that life, that man's existence is somehow, it's an accident. In other words, that we don't really have a purpose. There is not really a purpose and plan for us being in this world at all. You will notice that this vineyard, this master, he had planted in his vineyard. It wasn't in the usual place, it was in a specific place. And he had planted in a vineyard, he planted a fig tree. Now, quite often you will find fig trees and they're growing along the roadside or in the fields. But we find here, it says in verse number 6, this certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now you see, why was it in the vineyard? Why was it not in its usual place? Listen, because the vineyard was a place where there was special care of the soil. In other words, this fig tree was highly favored. I want to tell you, my friends, you and I are highly favored here in this land of Ulster. You are highly favored because you are brought into a land where there's gospel preaching. Her sister was testifying tonight. And she was telling you how that across in England and across in the rest of the United Kingdom, there are so many people in so many places, they never hear the gospel. They never hear the good news, the simple message of redeeming grace and redemption through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And yet, my friend, here in Ulster, we have the privilege of hearing it over and over and over again. We hear it in gospel meetings. We hear it in gospel missions. We hear it in Bible-believing churches. We find it in open airs. We find it in gospel tracts. People can be reached in so many different ways. And to be honest before God, you are highly privileged, and so am I, that we are born in a land where this old-fashioned gospel preaching still going on. Whilst there are so many places in the world tonight, they never hear the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been just like this fig tree in special ground in this specific special place. You have been put in a special place. I just returned from Armenia. Let me tell you, my friends, when I look there, I see abject poverty in many places. You see the horse and the cart still there. You saw a horse and cart going down the street. There's one thing you would think of, probably that person's well healed because he is able to have this special horse and cart. But I'll tell you this, these people have nothing. And here we are tonight, and here we find there was a fig tree and it was planted in this man's garden. In other words, you and I are without excuse. Men and women are going to hell tonight in Ulster. But I'll tell you this, you go without excuse from this congregation. And if you die in your sin and you're lost in eternity, friend, and you're damned for all eternity, you are without excuse. Because you've been highly favored. God has put you in a vineyard. God has put you in this gospel preaching house. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. Let's read what it says there in Romans chapter 1 just for a moment. In Romans chapter 1 in the verse 20 it says this, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Turn to chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. Thou art inexcusable. Here we find that they are without excuse. And in spite of all the care, in spite of all that they got in this special place, that this fig tree was put in this vineyard, we find indeed that they had nothing but leaves. There was no fruit. You'll notice it says there in verse number 7, behold, these 3 years, I come seeking fruit. In other words, there was an examination. There was a careful examination. You be very sure of this fact tonight, that God comes seeking. And he comes seeking fruit. God's examining your heart tonight. The word of God says, thou God seest me. And thou knowest me altogether. He came seeking. 3 years he came seeking. He said there was no fruit. How long has God been seeking you, friend? How long has God been visiting your heart? How long have you had the opportunity to hear the gospel? You have had plenty of time, but what have you done? You've wasted it. You have had plenty of opportunities. And what have you done? You've missed it. What an awful thing to miss the blessed opportunities that God has given you and taking all the plenty of opportunity of gospel time and wasting it. And yet the master said this, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. So the first thought, is this a reasonable request? The master knew it was a natural thing because the fig tree was there to bear fruit. And God has blessed you so many different ways, friend. And what have you done with the blessing of God? What have you done with all that God has given to you? Secondly, notice the regrettable recommendation here. It says this in verse number 7. I come seeking fruit in the fig tree, and I find none. He says, cut it down. Cut it down. See, why did the master say that, friend? Because let me tell you, the master was displeased. The fig tree was barren. You see, the barrenness of that fig tree was contrary to the whole purpose of the planting. You see, a fig tree that bears no fruit is worthless. It's useless. In other words, it's simply occupying a space. But it's not fulfilling the function it was put there for. You know, we live in days of great challenges economically. And none face the challenges economically more than the farmers. But let me tell you this, my friend. A farmer has to get rid of the livestock if it's not producing. And I'll tell you the reason why he has to do that. Because he simply realizes that a stock that's not producing is draining the profits. And the only thing he can do is get rid of it. And that's what's happening here. We see the master comes and he says, I've examined 3 years of the fig tree. And what the fig tree is doing is this. It's not only occupying a space, but it's doing something else. Listen, it's withdrawing the juice of the earth. It's taking up all the blessings. And that's your fact, as it withdraws the juice, it's keeping it from some others. You see, it's not only useless, it's a hindrance. And the master says, cut it down. Some people say this is a severe declaration. Let me tell you, my friend, if you realize just how severe it is and how simple it is to take all the blessings of God and to misuse them, your chief end is to glorify God, and all you're doing is glorifying yourself. All you want is you're building self. And your religion and your life is built on the glorifying of yourself and the fulfilling of the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of self. God's not in your story and God's not really in your life. Oh yes, you've got the leaves, you've got the smattering of religion, that's why perhaps you're even here. That's what they're doing us to go to church. Let me tell you, my friend, this fig tree had simply taken all from its owner and had given back nothing in return. That's what the sinner's doing. That's what the unsaved person in this church is doing, friend. You have been taken from God for years. And there's nothing you can't give in return. Because you have a sinful heart. And there's nothing you can offer to God tonight. Only come as a sinner to Christ and offer that sinful heart and humble yourself and confess your sin. Claim the precious blood of Christ. You see, here's a fig tree. Hear what the master said. Listen, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree. He said, I find none. What a disappointment. What is your life tonight? What are you living for? You're an unsaved person. Let me be quite frank with you tonight. You're living for yourself. And living for yourself, you're living for your sin. You say, but I'm not down. And I heard her sister testifying, and she was out in the clubs and the pubs and all of those things and all that went with it. Let me tell you, you say, preacher, but I'm not there. Let me tell you, my friend. Every day you live and every breath you breathe, you're living for self. And self is sin. What a disappointment. You are to the God who gave you breath, the God who gave you life. And then thirdly, I want you to notice, here's the recognizable restraint. Because it says in verse number 8, here's the man that looked after the ground. It says, he answered, saying unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And I want you to notice here, the vineyard master, or caretaker of the vineyard, the dresser of the vineyard, he makes a plea. He says, let it alone this year. It was a plea of grace. Friend, I think of all of our lives, and I think of the graciousness of God. You know, we're living in a day of grace. Grace is great riches at Christ's expense. You know, salvation is absolutely free. When I think of how gracious God is and how long-suffering God has been, I think of the illustration way back in the book of Genesis. God looked upon this earth, and God saw the sin, and it grieved God at his very heart that he had made man. What a disappointment. And God says, I will destroy. Then it says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God called this man Noah, and 120 years he went out of preaching, and as he built the ark that God had provided and God had designed and God had purposed and God had planned for the salvation of Noah. And as he built the ark, he preached the word of righteousness. And he cried out to the people to repent and turn to God. 120 years. He preached. I tell you, he'd have been looked upon as a failure. Be honest, I would suggest it had been a... If it had been in the congregation, they probably would have sacked him. Because 120 years and nobody saved. Except his own family. It's hard going for him. But I'll say this before God. What a testament of the grace of God that he got, his family were got in. Heard about a gospel preacher just this past week. He went out and sought to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Then two of his sons died, drunkards, and went to hell. Must have broke his heart. Noah's family. They got in, but 120 years he preached. And then God says, yet 7 days. Yet 7 days. The grace of God. And I look in this congregation up there in the gallery, and I see young people, and I look downstairs, and I see you folks, and let me tell you this. Friend, I say this with a broken heart. There's still some of you, and you're not saved. And to be honest, in all the world, that there's one thing I want more than anything else, that you might know the Lord. And I just say, earnest to God, God, let it alone this year also, that I might dig about it and dung it. You see, he said, and if it bear fruit, you see, that was the purpose. That's the purpose. And so we find that there was here the dresser of the vineyard. He said, I'm going to dig about it this year. And I'm going to do it this year. He did all he could. Let me tell you, friend. There's something I've learned in the gospel ministry is this. That the preacher's not able to save anybody. Salvation's of the Lord. Now we have to dig it and we have to dung it. We've got to do the work. We've got to preach the word. Some people say, I don't believe. You know, those people who are ultra-Calvinists, they turn around and say, you see, I don't believe that man has any responsibility at all. You don't need to witness to anybody. You don't need to, you know, hand out a gospel tract. You don't have to testify to anybody. You haven't to pray for anyone. If they're elect, they're going to come and, you know, man has to do absolutely nothing. I believe, my friend, that God gives you and me a responsibility. He says, ye are my witnesses and witnesses to witness. And I believe we have to dig and we have to dung. We've got to do. Let me tell you, friend, I'm from a farmer's background. I can honestly say this before the Lord. I remember as a young teenager, before the Lord showed me directly where he wanted me in his work, and I was seeking employment, and I was praying that God would direct me and guide me, and I must be honest, when I was trying to do it my way, God was closing the doors. And I remember standing in what we call in the group, that's in simple words, behind the cow, where the cow had been very cheerful because they clapped, and I was standing behind the cows and I was just lifting, you know, the dung into the barrow. And I said to the Lord, I said, oh God, is this all you want me to do? And I believed that God was calling me something else. And I was just standing there. But friend, let me tell you this. We've got to be willing to do the simple things. We've got to be willing to dig. We've got to be willing to dung the ground. A lot of people, you see, they just want the glory. Let me tell you this, friend. No flesh shall glory in his presence. And if you want the glory, then let me tell you, you have no part in God's work. A lot of people don't want to do the dung work. They don't want to do the dig work. But here we find the man is willing to earnestly plead for the grace of God. And he said, God, I'll play my part. I'll dig and I'll dung. But I know it must bear fruit. And he said, let it alone this year also. Then, if not then, after that, I shall cut it down. Here's the last thought, the responsible recompense. Then, cut it down. You see, friend, there was an extended time, but there was a limited time. And you be sure this time's going to run out. It says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And if some of you here tonight and God has been striving you, and God has been speaking to you, and God has been dealing with you, and you're still not saved, let me tell you, you're playing around with your immortal soul. And if you die in your sin and you go to hell, you'll regret in hell the day that you heard the gospel and you refused the Son of God. And if not, Master, cut it down. Cut it down. Interesting thing as I finish this message. You know this. There's no end to this parable. Interesting story. But it's a parable that's not finished. You say, what do you mean? Let me ask you this. Did the tree flourish and become fruitful? I don't know. Was the owner satisfied? I don't know. Did the tree, reward the investment of the caretaker's time, the digging and the dugging? I don't know. Was it still barren? Was it still fruitless? I don't know. Was it removed? Was it cut down? I don't know. You see, friend, I believe it's simply left like this. You decide the end of the story. What is the end? Sinner, this story is about you. What's the end of the story? Where will you be? Will God cut you down? Don't play around with God, friend. Don't you play loose with God. Don't you think that God will overlook your sin. And the only reason why you're not saved, sinners, listen, you don't want to be saved. And the only reason why you don't want to be saved, because you don't want to let go of your sin. You love it. And you can't have Christ and your sin. You can't have the Savior and sin at the same time. You've got to repent of your sin and turn to Christ. That's what her sister said. Nobody told her. Until one day, she heard the gospel. If you die and go to hell, and if God cuts you down, friend, let me tell you, it's because of your sin. You see, you decide the end of the story. Because that story has no ending. It says, let it alone this year also, till I dig it about and dung it, and if it bear fruit well. And if not, then after that, I shall come down. Let me ask you tonight. Are you going to live that life and glorify the Lord? Are you going to turn from your sin tonight and do what God wants you to do? Will you live the real purpose that God has placed you here for? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Or are you going to turn your back on God another night? God, by His Holy Spirit, has been digging, and through the witnessing of the Spirit, through the preaching of the Word, through the testimony of others, through even the ministry of song, God has been digging and dunging the ground. And are you going to walk away until God cuts you down? May God speak to your heart, give you grace to come to the cross, forsake your sin for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless Thy word to our hearts tonight. Oh God, I confess tonight that we long for the salvation of the lost. We long that Thou would be glorified in the salvation of men and women and young people in the service. We want Thy name to be honored and glorified tonight. We want not only that men and women are saved to deliver them from hell and from judgment and from wrath, but, oh God, most of all, we want that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, will be glorified in the salvation of the lost. That He alone will be seen, have all the glory. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight, we sing that little verse of invitation, just as I am. O Lamb of God, I come. If there's a man, a woman, old or young, say, preacher, God has been so good to me. He's given me all these years. He's digged the ground. He's dunged it. He's looked after it. He's put me in special soil. Gospel preaching church. And up to this moment, I'm not saved.
Preacher, lead me to Jesus. I want to be saved tonight. Backslider, you want to come back? May God give you grace to do it now. O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am without one plea.
Wonders there someone right now in the service up there in the gallery or downstairs, you say, Preacher, lead me to Jesus. Do you lift that hand right now above your head, friend? Indicate the desire. I beg you in God's name, don't take the privileges, the blessings of God and live for sin and live for self. I come. One final verse, just as I am and waiting not.
Just as.
Friend, don't wait another second. The day of grace is a limited day. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Let it alone this year. If not then, cut it down. Friend, don't let God cut you down. Run to him. He's the one. God, by thy Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll just take of thy word and write thy word upon the hearts of everyone that has heard tonight. Don't let a soul go away without you. Don't let a man, a woman, boy, or girl die in their sin. Perish forever. Cut down. No return. Forever lost. Please God, save them now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.